This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Man, it doesn't get much lower than that, does it? When we look back on the year that was, and that happened in January, so that counts as 2026, Charles Borges, does it not?
I would assume so, yes.
You would assume so. January's the beginning of the year, for God's sakes. Yes, it was, 2025. Did I say 26?
Yes.
I've lost my mind. It counts as 2025, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, but it counts as the 2024 season. But it happened in 2025, so technicality. But you are correct, as always, Mr. Starkey.
It's the Never Pomp and Very Rarely Joe show. Welcome to it. I'm here for the first time this week. Man, is there a lot to talk about. But I mean, it's the last day of the year. You're probably out there in what appears to be a light snow, probably getting ready for a big night. Or maybe a small night. Some people like to stay inside. We have a very small party at the house. A couple neighbors and a couple friends. How about you, Dr. Borges?
Normally we go out, my fiance and I, but this year we have decided to stay in. And we are not doing anything after the long Christmas that we had.
What does Limits do on New Year's Eve? Praise to Drew Aller. Other than that, what?
Dang, you stole my joke.
Wishes the best for Drew Aller in the coming year? Makes
probably
a Drew Aller resolution or two?
Does a Drew Aller seance?
Maybe a
that
seance.
The Steelers draft him in the third round? What would that seance sound like?
I don't know. It would be Limits in a Drew Aller jersey, perhaps with a little bobblehead and a candle next to the bobblehead, just wishing him well in the new year and hoping that the Steelers draft him. Listen. Let's talk about the year in Pittsburgh sports. It's the last day of the year, for God's sakes. What, you know, there's plenty of other things to talk about. I get it. But this kind of makes sense. And that clip right there was as bad or maybe worse than any moment of the whole year. Now, I'm not including off the field, the passing of beloved Pittsburgh sports figures such as Dave Parker, Mike Lang. I'm not including the fan falling out of the stands at PNC Park, things like that. I guess I'm talking more on the field stuff. This was a year of great dissatisfaction in Pittsburgh sports. It was a year mostly of lows, hopefully rock bottoms that prompted action. In some cases, that's exactly what happened. The dissatisfaction prompted action. And that rhymes, Dr. Borges. I don't know of anything lower than the Steelers in a playoff game against their hated rival being accused of quitting by Kirk Herbstreit on national television. And I know the DK Metcalf thing just happened. And I know there were other on the field, on the ice, bad stuff that happened. I just can't imagine anything worse than that in game. Can we listen to that again? And this is one happening that should have prompted action, in my opinion, at that time. And it didn't. The Steelers stayed the course. Others did not. I thought this was rock bottom of the Mike Tomlin era. Of course, I hadn't seen the loss to Cleveland yet this year. This was as bad as it gets.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense. But where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
Just mind-blowing, really, and the low point of the Tomlin era. Well, except for what happened, 3 days ago in Cleveland. So yeah, it was a year, and I've been doing this for a while now, since the station opened, and long before that, is sort of interacting with you out there all the time, right? Either through this medium, through writing, or just seeing people and talking. And I don't remember a year of greater dissatisfaction than this. Rage in some cases, apathy in some cases. You're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore. That was the quote that goes with this year in Pittsburgh sports. And some of that came from within the organizations themselves. Kyle Dubas had had enough of Mike Sullivan. It was time for that to end. There was great dissatisfaction with the Penguins and where they had gone for what, 3, 4, 5, 6 years running. That prompted change. That's a major change. They got rid of a Hall of Fame coach. There was great dissatisfaction at the Pirate opener and really every day of the Pirate season and off season, last off season. You had people flying planes over saying sell the team. You had the manager getting booed. You had all kinds of things. Chance of sell the team within the ballpark. That's the story of this Pittsburgh sports year. Things came to a head. There hasn't been a championship around here. If we don't get one this year in 2026, it'll be a decade or 9 years. I can't figure out which because I always get confused on how to count to 9 or 10. But close to it, and worse than that, things seem to be devolving. Well, that should prompt change. With the Penguins, it did. With the Pirates, it did. They fired Shelty, and then they actually did something this offseason. Better late than never. But I think your dissatisfaction out there helped to prompt change. I really do. The Steelers chose to stay the course. And their fan rage, their mad as hell and not going to take it anymore moment, came against the Bills, right? A 26-7 loss, whatever the score was, where you had fans, Steelers fans, booing Renegade and chanting for the head coach to get fired. Wow. What a wild year this was when you actually think about it. And I started to think about it last night and this morning, like, what was the theme? And I do this every year, you know, for the purposes of this show, maybe to write a column at the end of the year. What was the theme of this year in Pittsburgh sports? And I think it's pretty clear. 412-928-9370. You're sick and tired of watching what you've been watching. Wait, are we really going to watch another Penguin season that ends the same way that Sully's last five did, or however many there were? It was just like watching a rerun the whole time. And it kept getting worse. So you're just going to sit and watch it? Apparently not, judging by attendance. But at least Kyle Dubas did something. Pirate fans, and I realize there's a lot of cross-pollination here, but Pirate fans feel horrible for you. I commend the ones that keep going to the ballpark, not only because you keep going, but because you're the ones that are blamed for a lot of it. How can you spend money on tickets? You're part of the problem. No, you're not. You're the most loyal fans in the world, the ones who go to those games. And your anger came to a head at that opener. I mean, that was obvious for the whole world to see. And finally, the Pirates have done something. They changed managers. Way more importantly, they've actually put some money to their talk. Some, anyway. But they've gone out and they've acquired two All-Stars, signed two All-Stars here in a matter of a week. That, to me, is significant. And I think that your dissatisfaction maybe helped prompt them to action. I do. That was the story of the year. You know, Pitt basketball running in place, Pitt football running in place. But for our pro teams, it was you saying, I can't take this anymore. I just can't. We really going to watch the Steelers do what they do? How many times are we going to see this? How many years in a row? The characters change, the actors change, except for the head coach and the owner. But it's the same plot every single year. We get fooled from time to time. I did. I thought last week they were headed to the Super Bowl, for God's sakes. I was swilling Steelers Kool-Aid. Not drinking it, Charlie. I was doing Kool-Aid bongs. Just swilling it. And then Cleveland happened. And that was a sharp just slap in the face of, it's the same. It's the same. And how many years are we going to watch this? Because we're going on a decade of that. And for some people, it's just, it's okay. It's living above the mean. And I do actually give them a chance this weekend, a pretty good chance, because the Ravens are in the same spot.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So that was the theme of your sports year here. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Off the Top presented by JP Roofing and Siding. And the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. You can communicate with my dear friend, Nellie Borges, a personal, Nellie's not a personal injury law firm. Edgar Snyder and Associates is a personal injury law firm. Well, they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Wow. It's just really, when I think about it, remarkable and sort of unnoticeable. You know, when you're so close to something that you don't notice the change, like a kid growing up. Somebody will see the kid once every 6 months and say, oh my God, are they different? To you, the change was subtle. It was daily, and hopefully it was good. In this case, it's just been subtly Penguins, Pirates, Steelers eating away at your soul, I would imagine, as a Pittsburgh sports fan. Slowly, subtly, year after year after year, the Penguins don't even make the playoffs anymore, but again, at least they change something. The Pirates are the same every year, chronically disappointing, but at least they've changed something. And the Steelers, while they live in the land or the town I like to call high-end mediocrity, they bought a house there, they seem pretty satisfied there, and I guess who wouldn't be, right? They have all their needs met. They have a roof over their heads, right? They have a steak dinner every once in a while, a bottle of wine. Life's pretty good in high-end mediocrity. Until it's not, until you realize that a whole lot of people are living better in the NFL. A lot of people living worse. A lot of people living better. They're actually the one franchise we have that has not been prompted to major change. Now, one of the big stories was bringing in Aaron Rodgers. They've tried that. Maybe it'll still work. Maybe it'll still work, but I thought he had his worst game, honestly, against Cleveland. I'm talking about high-end management change is what I'm talking about. Philosophy change. And the Steelers are so stubborn. And so once again, really, I feel like for the third time this season, we're facing kind of, and it's all based on how last season ended and how for the first time late last season, you could sense a sea change nationally. Whereas the national media had been squarely in the Steelers' corner, Mike Tomlin's corner, you know, hey, at least they're not the Jets type of thing. That started to change late last year. And therefore, and some people reported and said this could be it for Tomlin, at least as far as him wanting to go elsewhere. The Bears called about a trade. There was all that noise last season that fed into this year. What was going to happen this year? Well, after they lost to Cincy and Green Bay, I felt like they were set up for maybe a 5-game losing streak and a season falling apart. Remember talking about it that week with Indy. It wasn't just about a game. It was about an era, perhaps, and how things were teetering. Well, they righted the ship that day. They hammered Jonathan Taylor. They win the game. Then they lose in L.A. They win in Cincinnati, or against Cincinnati. And then they lose in Chicago. And then they get crushed at home by the Bills and hit rock bottom again. And once again, it wasn't just about, oh, yeah, maybe the Steelers won't make the playoffs. It was, wow, we've reached another franchise-altering moment, perhaps, like a new rock bottom. And what kind of change might that prompt, if any? What do? They go out and beat Baltimore the next week in Baltimore. That sparks a 3-game winning streak and had people like me swigging Kool-Aid. And then what happens? Well, the DK Metcalf incident, the dry needling incident happened, I guess, before that. And then one of the worst losses of the Mike Tomlin era. I consider it one of the worst losses in modern Steelers history. What a shameful, horrific, embarrassing, unforgivable loss that was. They lost to Shador Sanders. That dude, as far as I'm concerned, threw 2 pick-sixes. Nick Herbig dropped one. Oh, well. Jack Sawyer never made it to the end zone. Oh, well. He also threw one of the worst passes in the NFL this season that I've seen anyway, the moonball interception by Duggar. Even Sanders' touchdown pass was horrific. Duggar just misplayed it. He went full Juan Thornhill on that one. They lost to that with their season on the line. I don't care who was in and out, Watt, Metcalf, who, you should beat them with your freshman team, with your JV team. They lost to that with everything on the line. And I still maintain that a big reason they lost that game was they wanted to save face against Myles Garrett. There's so many people now pushing against that narrative. Go back and watch the game. They sacrificed Kenneth Gainwell to blocking, chipping him. They ran away from him. They threw away from him. And then I see people like J.J. Watt. Well, isn't the idea to not have him wreck the game? He's got 22 and a half sacks and his team is 4-12. Forget that. Going into that game, he had 22 sacks and his team was 3-12. So it's more to me of people letting him wreck the game, not wreck the game, but letting him get his and running their offense anyway. Let's do what we do here. He's going to get his. No different than a big scorer on a bad basketball team. Do we game plan around him? Hell no. Let him get his 30. Do we care? Just play. Brian Baldinger, Tony Romo, Jim Nance, Myles Garrett himself, and plenty of others have called out the Steelers for prioritizing Garrett over the game. They said it blatantly on the broadcast, Nance and Romo. Not in so many words, they said it blatantly. Now, I'm not directly quoting, although at 9:51 of the third quarter, Charlie, I don't know if we have the TV feed, Romo basically said he doesn't want to get sacked by Garrett at all, like he's trying to avoid that. Nance said the same thing. Baldinger said the same thing. Garrett said the same thing.
We have Rodgers' comments on Garrett, if you want to hear that from Sunday night.
Sure.
Played for the Browns, how much is it part of that balance of trying to limit Garrett, but at the same time still getting it going?
We had the same similar game plan as the first time. We just executed better in the first game.
He threw faster in the second game. Did they sacrifice Kenny Gainwell to Garrett chipping in the first game and blocking? I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at every play. He got rid of the ball faster in this game. I'm convinced he didn't want to be the guy to go down in history. Because right now, that guy is Brett Favre. who goes down in history. Of course, Favre gave himself up on the Strahan sack as the guy who gives up the record-breaking sack. So you can call it what you want. The Steelers are scraping rock bottom again, and now they go into yet another, in my mind, their third critical franchise-altering moment this weekend. And by the way, I hear people talk about this Browns defense like they're, you know, the 2000 Ravens. Give me a break. You have 32 points to New England. They gave up 27 to the Jets. They gave up 26 to the Niners, 31 to the Titans. You lost 31 to the Bears. You lost to that, 23 to the Bills. Those were their games leading into this. San Fran, 26. Tennessee, 31. Was that Tennessee season high? Let me look that up. Chicago, 31. Buffalo, 23. This team walked in there and scored 13. One of the worst losses I've ever seen in my life. Did Tennessee score 31 points the whole season other than that? I severely doubt it. No, that was their season high. Pretty easily their season high to the great Cleveland Browns defense. What a great defense. 6 points against that defense. 412-928-9370. The year of dissatisfaction. You out there were mad as hell and you weren't going to take it anymore. And with two of our three pro franchises, that has prompted action. Now, maybe the Steelers avoid sinking to a new low and prompting great outcry for change and prompting maybe fire Tomlin chants at the stadium Sunday. Maybe they escape yet again. If they do, I'll give them credit. They're an underdog on their home field. By the way, we have to be keeping tabs today, Dr. Borges, on TJ Watt and Lamar Jackson. What's going to happen with them today?
But welcome once, to AFC North Championship Week, as I like to refer to it.
Yeah, man. It kind of doesn't feel that way, though, does it? Sort of feels like two teetering franchises who have had great success a while ago, more success in Baltimore than Pittsburgh recently. They make runs in the playoffs. They went to the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. Maybe they've underachieved to, you know, relative to having a multiple MVP winner. But at least they win playoff games, including the one where they crushed the Steelers last year. However, to crumble this year as a Super Bowl favorite, man, this game could prompt change for the loser. Big time. That's what feels like it's at stake here. And come to think of it, I'm having deja vu because I was talking about this exact same theme going into the last Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. And the Steelers, with DK Metcalf leading the way with 148 yards receiving and volunteering to be a gunner on the punt team, they rose off the mat in Baltimore. Can they do it one more time? Will they do it one more time? Let's talk about how we think this game will go, but also your feelings as a Pittsburgh sports fan in the year where everything came to a head. Basically, we had fan insurrections at PNC Park and Acrisure. It's just, you were not going to stand for this any longer. You were done with it. The Penguins feels like it's been more apathy than anger. There was no, you know, insurrection over at PPG Paints Arena. People just stopped going. 412-928-9370. Talking about the year in Pittsburgh sports. Maybe we can talk about the year ahead as well. There was great change this year. Goodbye, Sully. Goodbye, Shelty. Hello, Aaron. Goodbye, FSG. Will there be seismic change in the year to come? We'll talk about that as well. It's 1026. Make the smart call. Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. Now, I was supposed to thank somebody from the North Allegheny basketball tournament here, and now I've forgotten her name. And I know she's listening. She sat at the door taking tickets all weekend, where every time somebody walked in the door, Nelly, she was blown away by a frigid blast. It was unbelievable. She just sat there and froze the whole weekend.
There's cold, and then there's standing by a door with a breeze cold.
It was unbelievable.
It's two totally different things.
Yeah. Well, at least she was sitting, but still taking money for the tournament. And basically, by the end of the weekend, she was like a frozen cadaver. It was incredible. And I should have written down her name because I don't even remember when I woke up today, what I had for breakfast. I can't remember your name, but I commend you. I commend you for all the work you did at that basketball tournament this weekend. It was very, very impressive. Thank you, Nelly. And welcome to the never pomp and pretty rarely around the holidays Joe Show.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.